Hey, Mark, I was listening to Paramore the other day, and it really made me think about the amygdala and the limbic system.
You just made those words up, didn't you?
What, Paramore?
We're the Nevermind the Music podcast, where one musician
and one psychologist
talk songwriting and the mind, one song at a time.
We'll hear everything from Green Day and Outkast
to Stevie Wonder and Dua Lipa.
And we mostly try to stay on topic.
Except for when we don't want to.
Nevermind the Music, wherever you get your podcasts.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business and sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/redcircle.
Member Week is here at Lowe's. Don't miss your chance to get up to 40% off hundreds of items like paint, stain, tools, flooring, and more. Shop our exclusive deals happening in-store and online from May 8th through May 14th. Not a member? Join MyLowe's Pro Rewards for free today and get ready to save more. Lowe's, we help you save. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.
It's like people that don't listen but are just waiting to talk.
Oh, yeah. You can tell by their eyes. They're not listening. They're just already preparing their next.
Like what I do.
Is that like a guitar solo?
Hey, I'm Nicole.
And I'm Mark.
And you're listening to Never Mind the Music. Mark, what are we talking about today?
Do you remember Everybody Wants to Rule the World by Tears for Fears?
I don't remember it because I don't think born or alive or functioning when it was first produced, but I know it as a song.
Wait, okay. Are we talking about like the difference? Is this, what is it? Epistemology? Is that the term? Like the study of knowledge? Like, can you know a song if you don't remember? You remember this song.
We will find you acting on your best behavior. Turn your back on Mother Nature. Everybody wants to rule the world.
You know the song and you have memories of hearing the song, which means you remember the song. Is that safe? Can we go there?
We can. I just gave a whole lecture about memory yesterday, so I'm really like in the weeds about jargon, but yes.
Fair enough. I stand corrected, I guess. Okay. So I've got some stuff I want to talk about with this song, but honestly, I think we got to start with me asking you some things, because there's some things I do understand about this song and this band, but there are definitely things that I don't.
Okay. Hit me up.
All right. So this is Everybody Wants to Know This Song. This is Everybody Wants to Rule the World. 1985 album, Songs from the Big Chair by Tears for Fears. So this is one of their biggest hits. Do you know other Tears for Fears songs?
I bet you if you played them for me, I'd be like, oh yeah, I love that song. But I couldn't like recall Tears for Fears songs.
I don't have other ones queued up. But
that's fine.
What if I said the name?
Yeah, probably.
Shout.
Oh, yeah.
Shout
it all out.
Let it all out. Yeah, let whatever. It all out. That's mm-hmm. right. You can't shout more than twice in per phrase of music. You have to let it all out. You can't shout it all out. You have to pay extra for that.
I see.
So Shout, this album actually had a bunch of singles. Mother's Talk.
My bitch is following the change in the weather. We can't wait on.
Head Over Heels.
Something happens and I'm head over.
I Believe.
And I believe that if it's written in the stars, that's fine. I can't be enough.
Shout and Everybody Wants to Rule the World were the huge ones.
Hmm.
But like, you know, Mad World, right?
Oh, that's a great song.
That's theirs originally.
Oh.
Like their melodramatic synth pop version is, you know.
Wow.
I find it hard to take when people run in circles. It's a very, very mad world.
Yeah, it's not as well known as the Gary Jules version, but, you know, that's originally them. Anyways, Tears for Fears. I love Tears for Fears. 80s British synth pop. We'll probably be hearing more of that style this season on this show.
You love synth pop.
I do. Like any good self-deprecating guitar player, I have to actually prefer other instruments I don't play as well. So this song was written by Roland Orzabal, one of the main two guys of Tears for Fears, with help from Ian Stanley and Manny Elias. Kurt Smith, like the lead vocalist of this song, didn't actually start writing stuff for them until the 2000s. So it's kind of, I don't know, a late bloomer in the band. But any case.
Before we get into talking about the chords and the musicality of this song, can we just talk about the band name Tears for Fears for a minute?
This song is on an album called Songs from the Big Chair.
Sure.
By a band called Tears for Fears. And apparently both of these are references to psychology. References to psychotherapy, sure. Psychotherapeutic techniques. I don't know the terms. So
okay.
The name itself, Tears for Fears, is a reference apparently to primal therapy.
Sure.
So what is that? What? Sure. I want to talk about chords. We'll get there. But
yeah,
chords
what
and rhythm. But
primal
what's
therapy?
Primal therapy? Okay. Help me ground myself in what this band is.
So primal therapy is, well, let me just say, no one's like practicing primal therapy clinically anymore. It really is like a modernization of this Freudian thought that everything's rooted in your childhood. So if we can untangle those childhood experiences, we can help you be a better adult. And it's really like getting back to your primal basic instincts through subconscious exploration. I'm guessing that they kind of deep dive. You could probably make some connections to primal therapy to like the modern day experimentation with psychedelics and therapy.
Okay.
To kind of like tap into depression, anxiety, PTSD treatment.
Right.
By like kind of lifting off the veil of society that burdens us to really talk about how we're feeling and to really connect with what's going on inside of us. Like we feel censored. And now primal therapy is lifting that censorship off, lifting that social stigma off, and just really releasing the real stuff that's bothering
tears.
You. Tears.
Right.
Or fears.
Cry it away, right?
Cry it away.
Right.
Yeah, feel
okay.
Your feelings.
Wow. All right.
Okay.
Okay, so there is a lot to talk about this song musically. The chords are cool. It has an unusual form and unusual song structure. It also has two guitar solos, which I think may have been a maybe cynical way to get good with the American audience, which this was a huge hit in the United States. This was the third single from this album, but the second one to hit number one. So Shout and Everybody Wants to Rule the World both hit number one in the United States. Let's listen, just for the sake of it, snippets of both guitar solos. This one's from Roland Orzabal. Sort of an old school rock and roll. And here's one by Neil Taylor, who I think is a session guitarist. What are your thoughts on guitar solos, Nicole?
I am generally pro guitar solo. I'm a big fan of live music and it's very satisfying. And when they kind of break out a juicy guitar solo, I mean, nothing's better than that. How about you?
Well, okay. Do you think the song is better or worse for the minute and a half of guitar solos that happen?
I think it's better, but there's no way that would happen today.
In a pop song, a synth pop song?
No.
Yeah, you'd kind of need to move on to the
the hook, or like, well, we're in the TikTok generation right now.
People would just skip to the next song, maybe, sure. If it was on the radio or on a TikTok.
And in this song, the guitar solos are so different. Like, they just hit different, each of them, and I think it's cool.
That's the cool thing about using a session player. I mean, there's a lot of bands with good guitar players who still use a different guitarist for certain solos. Wait, so do you like jam bands? Are we going to talk about jam bands
at some point?
Like, you like it when there's a song that's 4 minutes long, but when you see them live, it's 40 minutes long?
You know, there was a time in my life that I really liked jam bands, but I saw the Grateful Dead live this past summer, and their set was like 4 hours long. And I was
Whoa.
Like, this, is it just the same song? And people around me would be like, oh, I love this one. Like, it sounds just like the last 2 hours. I think I've evolved past it.
Lots of noodling. Yeah.
There's just a lot of noodling. And like, I get it, and I can't anymore. I don't know.
Yeah, I've kind of never been a guitar solo guy, but I think that's a what's the term? Help me out. Not a defense mechanism.
You're like posturing a little bit when you play a guitar solo.
Well, it's like, because I've always wanted to sing. I've always wanted to write songs and sing. That meant I was spending my time playing guitar doing that instead of practicing solos. And now I feel like that's just an excuse for having not practiced soloing enough.
Sure.
So many years later.
It's like people that don't listen, but are just waiting to talk.
Oh, yeah. You can tell by their eyes. They're not listening. They're just already preparing their next.
Like what I do.
Is that like a guitar solo? Yeah.
For this podcast.
I think also there's a generational thing. I think in the sort of grunge and pop punk styles of the 90s, it was a little gauche maybe to take a solo. It was like, no, you should got to be simpler than that. I don't know. And then here I am, middling at best as a guitar soloist. These solos do it for me. They work.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business and sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/redcircle.
Member Week is here at Lowe's. Don't miss your chance to get up to 40% off hundreds of items like paint, stain, tools, flooring, and more. Shop our exclusive deals happening in-store and online from May 8th through May 14th. Not a member? Join My Lowe's Pro Rewards for free today and get ready to save more. Lowe's, we help you save. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.
But what I want to talk about is harmonic rhythm. Does that mean anything to you, Nicole?
I can like deduce what it might be.
Deduce.
Is it rhythm that's also in harmony?
Good. Yeah. Yeah. So it's the rhythm of the harmony.
Oh, cool.
So if we define harmony, we think of harmony sometimes as like a backing vocal or something. But harmony just means chord, right? So the rhythm of the chords, but not like the groove. It's how often do the chords change? So even if you've got a funky guitar part playing a lot of notes, if you go 10 seconds without the chord changing, that song has a slow harmonic rhythm.
Okay.
As opposed to a song like a pop punk song or something where the chord might change four times in a few seconds or something like that. With me?
Yeah, it kind of like grounds the song in some way.
I think it can ground the song. I think it could also make the song disorienting, right? Depending on the harmonic
rhythm. If it changes
rhythm.
Too much.
Exactly.
Okay,
so what's so cool about this song, one of the many things that makes this song so cool, is that it has a harmonic rhythm that shifts throughout. Most songs tend to have a regular harmonic rhythm. If we have 1, 2, 3, 4, we call that a measure or a bar, right? You might have a chord change once per bar, right? A song like this does not keep that steady, whereas most songs might keep that harmonic rhythm. Even if the chords change a bunch, the harmonic rhythm will stay the same to keep the song kind of predictable. This song, not so much. In this case, though, I think it's really helpful at building energy. This song's 4 minutes and 21 seconds long, relatively long, and our momentum is preserved partially, I'm going to say, because of the harmonic rhythm.
This song, when you look at the lyrics, they're not a lot of lyrics, but it is just the instrumentality, right? Is that what you would call it? Instrumentality?
Yeah, or instrumental sections. Two guitar solos, there's synth, little breakdowns, things like that. So anyways, the main sort of riff of this song is the synth stuff and guitar stuff we hear during the verse. It's an A chord to a G chord with a D in the bass for the nerds out there. And to me, this has always reminded me of the song So What by Miles Davis.
Okay.
This is from 1959, modal jazz classic.
Nice. That's an awesome song.
Do you know that?
I know that.
You do know that.
I do know that.
It's not the same. Miles Davis tunes quite a bit more harmonically complex, which is fine. But we hear these two chords changing, but I'm going to say we kind of only hear one chord. Mm. Yeah, we have the do, but it's kind of just sitting there otherwise. It almost feels like one long chord with that little sort of shift happening above it.
It's so wild that you're using the word shift. And when you're talking about these harmonic changes, you know, I'm thinking of even this album title, Songs from the Big Chair, is really a reference to like Freudian psychoanalysis.
Apparently, Songs from the Big Chair is referenced to a 1976 movie, Sybil.
A classic case study in Freudian psychology. This woman, Sybil, that had multiple personality disorder, that she found a lot of comfort sitting in her therapist's big chair. This idea of a therapeutic approach that like you have a client sitting in a big chair with an omnipresent therapist.
Sometimes a couch though, right?
Sometimes a couch. That's the archetypal vibe, right? That is really based in like a Freudian approach of psychoanalysis that isn't often like practiced currently. One, because it takes a lot of time to go through it, like a psychoanalytical process is really about like deep diving into someone's childhood, deep diving into their subconscious. It takes a lot of just flat out time to do that. And it's really hard, honestly, to bill insurance for that type of therapy. So it's not widely practiced now.
They'd rather just bill for medication or something.
Well,
like that.
No, now we practice more like cognitive behavioral therapy or therapy
right.
more like backed in like deliverables and like you can quantify results. It's just a more modern approach, but a lot of people still train and practice psychotherapy. But it was really big in like the 60s and 70s because that's when like therapy first kind of came up as a thing that you could do. You could sit in this big chair and like talk about your childhood and it would help you mediate the conflict in the present day. Like Freud believed that all of our anxiety, all of our sense for power and control and neuroses was rooted in like our childhood experiences. So if we could go back and like unpack those experiences, we'd be more adapted adults. So that's where this idea of like the big chair comes in. But Sybil, which is really cool, she was the first like real case study in what used to be called multiple personality disorder, but now we call it dissociative identity disorder. And
it's just a name change, though. It doesn't also come with...
No, like, there's probably some diagnostic criteria changes, but we just kind of changed it because it was really stigmatized, this idea of multiple personalities.
Right. And so apparently this reference to the title is a reflection of the hostility of the British music press in the 80s.
Okay.
So like, what is that? I don't know. Maybe we need to back off on this topic, but what does that mean? Like the safety of the big chair of your analyst talking through your problems as a reflection of dealing with music critics.
Yeah, that's an interesting, we can make some connections there. Like maybe Tears for Fears as a band felt like in their music writing process, this was a place for them to process their emotions, like without the onlook of the music critics. Or maybe it was a reference to essentially like the multiple personalities of the critics and how they were reflecting on Tears for Fears music. Maybe.
Interesting.
I'm not sure. And one of the key markers of multiple personality disorder is the idea that you switch between personalities and you go back and forth and one lays latent under the surface and comes up and they go back and forth. It makes a really strong connection to the convention that you're describing.
Well, that's interesting because what I would say harmonic rhythm wise in this song is we have this static with this single shifting chord, but then a switch gets flipped and things suddenly change. So is that moment kind of reflective somehow of this idea of a different personality?
Absolutely.
So take a listen. So this is what we get during the verse. Stasis. Yes, there's that little chord shift, but it's otherwise static until we get to the hook. What happens? We will find you acting on your best behavior. Turn your back on Mother Nature. Everybody wants to rule the world. The melody's pretty similar, but those chords start changing.
Even the lyrics that like, you know, you're talking about stasis and finding like a baseline. And then this idea that, you know, the lyrics say everybody wants to rule the world again. You can layer on this idea of dissociative identity disorder that every self inside this altar, which is what they call that stasis personality, is kind of fighting for the mic.
Wow.
which is really cool. There are a lot of latent connections in this song to that topic.
Wow, okay. So this song's about sort of the desire for power mm-hmm. and kind of the corruption that it brings, but it's analogous to almost internal turmoil.
Absolutely.
Right? Which this band is interested on some level with the band title, the album title, things like that.
And who knows if that was their intent, but like right. we're discovering like it's a strong correlation between like the presentation of dissociative identity disorder and what they're discussing in the lyrics of the song and with the harmonic chord changes throughout the song too. It's cool.
Want to keep your personal number private but still stay connected? With Line 2, you can get a second phone line right on your device with a super simple app and no need for another phone. Whether it's for online shopping, dating, or shielding your main number from spam, Line 2 is an easy way to manage it all. Ready for peace of mind without breaking the bank? Call, text, block, and more for only $9.99. Get started with line2.com/audio or download Line 2 in any app store today. Line 2, your second line simplified.
So we have the stasis, personality one, the mm-hmm. stasis of the verse, and then personality two, the movement of the chorus. And that alone, I said most songs keep steady harmonic rhythm. That alone is not totally without exception. It's kind of a staple of, for example, funk music or a lot of R&B to have stasis in the verse and then a change, harmonic changes happening in the chorus. Here's an example, Earth, Wind & Fire, Shining Star, 1975.
So cool.
One chord.
Right? One chord.
And then the chorus, the hook. Electric piano, bass shifting.
So good.
Chords start moving.
That's one of my pump up jams.
This is a good pump up jam. It's a good it's a good running song when yeah. you want the second wind to kick in. Have some Earth, Wind & Fire pumping. Slower pace.
I try not to exercise. Oh, so. Yeah.
Right. It's a moral. Yeah, a moral statement.
I'm not emotionally available for that.
Okay. So I said you've got like, let's say a 1, 2, 3, 4 count mm-hmm. in a song. And we could say how often the chords change. So when we're listening to the verse of this song. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. That's the tempo. That's the speed of this song. When we get to the chorus, I'm going to count it. Tell me how many beats goes by before each chord changes.
Oh, gosh. I didn't know there'd be a quiz.
I'm going to count along and notice how often our chord changes. Listen for the guitar, listen for the bass, the synths to all shift together. We will find you. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4.
4 times 4 is 16 beats.
What do you got?
I think 8 different times it changes. It changes on the first beat of every measure.
That's right. The first beat.
So and then the last measure, it changes every beat.
The first part of the hook, it's 4 beats long. So one whole measure, right? Mm-hmm. 1, 2, 3, 4. Chord change, 2, 3, 4. Chord change, 2, 3, 4. But then at the end, it speeds up. When we listen to the second half, when we listen to the last line. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. It speeds up there. It goes to what we call double time. The beat doesn't change, but the chords go from no chord changing at all to changing once per measure to changing twice per measure at double speed. Here's just the chords alone. The beginning of the hook. Okay.
It sounds so depressing when you play it, when you say
sad.
It that way.
Melancholy, definitely. Yeah. And now here's the everybody wants to rule the world line.
Mm. Yeah, it definitely changes faster. I want like Speeds a brighter up. Resolution. I do.
This song, I think we're going to have to talk about that in a different episode because this song does not really resolve. This song is in the key of D and we get a D chord exactly twice in the song, mm-hmm. and it's for like a half a second. The bridge section, bridges in music tend to be where you've got contrast. The harmonic rhythm gets even weirder. We won't count through it, but it's more complicated. And there's one little moment where it resolves, but it passes by so fast, it doesn't sound resolved at all. There's a room where the light won't find you. Hold your hands while the walls come tumbling down. Ugh. The third chord there, that's our D so chord. Great. That's the only resolved chord. But it's not resolved. But the harmonic rhythm is more offbeat there. Things are more irregular in this one section.
There's so much I want to talk about with this song about like conflict theory and sociology and how we're just being designed to fight against each other and we'll never find a resolution. And it's such a good connection, but we're going to save it.
We're going to save it for the next song about apocalyptic visions of our society.
Yes, okay. That also correlates with harmonic whatever.
Having this double time in the chorus thing is also not super unfamiliar. It happens in some pop songs. Do you remember Live?
The Lightning band Live. Crashes. Oh, yeah. Yes, I do.
One of the saddest songs of the 90s. Sort of confusing, good. Sad.
Yeah. Ugh. This moment she's been waiting for. That's my karaoke song.
It's your karaoke. Yeah, it's a good crowd pleaser. Yeah. But then listen to the chorus. The chords twice as fast. Oh, my feeling
coming back again. Can I ask you a question?
Yeah, yeah.
This song, like, everybody wants to rule the world. I just disagree with the premise of that song. Like, I don't think that everybody wants to rule the world. Like, I know for me, I'm very happy, like, not ruling the world. I don't want to be in charge. I don't want people looking to me to decisions. How do you feel about that? Like, if someone said to you, Mark, you're in charge of all of it, would you be like, yes, please?
But with the actual, because what would happen is I would get assassinated within like 15 minutes.
I don't know.
Not a risk? Because if that's not a risk, like if I could change things, I think I am delusional enough that I would take that. But also I philosophically don't think anybody should rule the world. So like sure. that. But if I say no, does that mean someone else worse than me? So I feel like. I don't know. I think this conversation took a not fun turn.
If someone said to you, Mark, you're in charge of the whole wide world, what would be the first thing you would do?
Mandatory harmonic rhythm changes.
If you were told that you're in charge of ruling the world, but in your first thing that you had to do couldn't be anything serious, would have to be something like super silly and fun just to like build morale, what do you think you would do? What would be the silliest thing you would do if you were in charge?
Like a big icebreaker, a big team building exercise, a unity exercise, like at a retreat.
Yeah.
Okay, that kind of thing.
Like, what would be your first worldwide icebreaker?
This is too cliche, but I think we got to sing.
You got to sing?
We got to sing like learn like a barbershop quartet. Like learn some like dope four-part harmony that everybody has to learn. But I guess then it's going to feel like dictatorial immediately when I'm like, you're flat.
Revolt.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what.
Dictatorial. Oh, gosh.
Why, what do you got? What's your answer?
Oh, I don't know. Like, I usually like the roses and thorns, like the best thing and worst thing that happened to you today. But I think that would get dark because some places in the world have really bad things that happen.
Thorns are pretty sharp.
Yeah, thorns are sharp for sure. I would just give everyone the day off, I think, and just go home and take a nap. But that's not productive.
Maybe it shouldn't be.
This is why I shouldn't be in charge. I mean, I'm middle management at best.
So you don't agree, though, that everybody wants to... You,
no.
Forget about us. Like, specifically, this song is sort of talking about what results from everybody pushing to get more power. I think I do agree with them. I don't know that that means every person wants to rule the world, but there is this sort of universal fear that causes people to grab before something gets grabbed.
Yeah, I mean, most wars have started between, like, are just about power and control. Like, that's all an ideology. And that goes back to, like...
And guitar solos.
Nevermind the Music is hosted by me, Nicole Vatcher, and Mark Papany. Mark also produces our podcast. Please be sure to subscribe and leave us a rating and review.
Let us know what you think on social media. We're Never Music Pod on all the major platforms. You can also send us an email at nevermusicpod@gmail.com. Every so often, we'll do a mailbag episode where we'll answer your burning questions.
Thanks for listening. Hey, Mark, I was listening to Paramore the other day, and it really made me think about the amygdala and the limbic system.
You just made those words up, didn't you?
What, Paramore?
We're the Nevermind the Music podcast, where one musician
and one psychologist
talk songwriting and the mind, one song at a time.
We'll hear everything from Green Day and Outkast
to Stevie Wonder and Dua Lipa.
And we mostly try to stay on topic.
Except for when we don't want to.
Nevermind the Music, wherever you get your podcasts.
Member Week is here at Lowe's. Don't miss your chance to get up to 40% off hundreds of items like paint, stain, tools, flooring, and more. Shop our exclusive deals happening in-store and online from May 8th through May 14th. Not a member? Join MyLowe's Pro Rewards for free today and get ready to save more. Lowe's, we help you save. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.